you're short on time but still looking for quality coffee, you can grab a quality coffee quick at Coles Express. Get their delicious four bean Arabica blend coffee now for just $1 only at Coles Express.
Do you know what I learned from shows like The Bachelor or The Bachelorette is that looks can be deceiving. And we've all learnt that from an early age, don't judge a book by its cover. But for instance, on this series of Bachelorette, Feb, from the very first episode,
yes,
when I saw Jamie the fireman walk in, even though a lot of the people from the New South Wales Fire Brigade have said he's not a fireman, but anyway, when he came in.
No, he's not a fireman.
Okay,
well. No, he does like, I don't know. Anyway, fire safety for a private company.
Yeah.
But when he came in, I went, whoa, immediately I thought he was the most attractive. He was sort of my type. I went, that's the guy I'd go for. But as the episodes have unfolded, he's the least attractive guy,
I would have picked that up after the first interview.
Well, I know the first episode. Remember the first episode? This was a strange breakdown he had in the first week.
When people don't trust me, I feel worthless. It's brought out this negative energy in me that wasn't even in me. Yeah, I don't even know how to come back from this, eh? Like, I don't know how to come back from it.
And he's always staring and watching, and admittedly that could be editing that's not favourable for Jamie. But then last night he basically admitted to Angie one-on-one, yes, I'm a stage 5 clinger.
Because they feel that I'm too needy for you, like a stage 5 clinger.
And do you think that's the truth?
Partially, but I think it's sort of like a compliment, like I'm almost like too much of a good guy.
Oh. It's a compliment.
Run, Forrest, run.
But you're right, Feb. See, you think about Sophie Monk's series of The Bachelorette where Jared Woodgate, mate, Jared.
He's number one.
He came across very much as a stage 5 clinger, but in a different sense. Like, there's some, Jamie's, like, Jared's a fun stage 5 clinger.
Yeah,
he was
happy,
just really invested. Whereas Jamie, there's something here. It's something weird. I'm not comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people were surprised that Angie didn't send him home last night because, like, that one's not coming across that well.
Keep him on.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
But the good thing that Jamie did then for other stage 5 clingers is he came out and he said, I am one.
Mm.
And I think there's nothing better than owning who you are. And if you know you're a stage 5 clinger, 131060, give us a call. We've even got you your own little jingle.
I want to be with you forever.
Are you obsessive?
Stage 5 cling.
Put away the ring. Are you like Jared?
Stage 5 cling.
How do you cling?
Oh, wow.
Now, I'll put myself out there.
Okay.
I don't mind saying this. No, not anymore. I'm quite the opposite. But when I was younger, because it can be a youthful thing, it can be something you grow out of. And I would have told you this before. I was dating this guy, Johnny. He loves it when I mention him. I'll get an email from him later today.
Oh, Johnny Cox.
Johnny Cox. I was, and this was back, I would have been 22, 23, and I was living in Sydney at the time, and he was a rugby player, and I was madly in love with him, and he's the one that I thought we were in a relationship, but he didn't. So for 2 years, I called him my boyfriend, and he was dating other people. One of those relationships. Anyway, I remember.
Bloody footy players.
It was a Saturday night. Yeah, footy players. It was a Saturday night and I was trying to call him and he wasn't answering. And I would have left. It would have been, I think it was definitely in the 30s to 40s.
Whoa.
About 40 missed calls. Because when he eventually rang me, he's like, you can't do that. I'm like, well, you've got to answer. Like, answer. Anyway, then the next weekend he did it again. I think he was teaching me a lesson that stopped being such a five-stage clinger and calling me a million times. Mm. So then I rang his mum.
Oh.
And I rang his mum and I said, I can't get hold of Johnny. Do you know where he is?
Oh.
She said, who are you? I'm his girlfriend.
That is classic stage 5 clinger behaviour. You probably set the bar too high,
Feef. You and Jamie would be, I reckon you'd be a good match.
Yeah, I know.
131060. Call us if you are a stage 5 clinger or you've been with a stage 5 clinger.
1019.
The Fox.
The Fox.
I want to be with you forever.
Are you obsessive?
Stage 5 cling.
Put away the ring. Are you like Jared?
Stage 5 cling.
How do you cling?
Poor Jared.
I know. Jared's great. And not fair. You know, he was in love with Sophie Monk. That doesn't necessarily make him.
Jared Woodgate back in the Bachelorette days.
The Bachelorette Sophie days.
Kira.
But the new stage 5 clinger on The Bachelorette is Jamie, the fireman, who last night, in fact, admitted he was a stage 5 clinger.
Because they feel that I'm too needy for you, like a stage five clinger.
And do you think that's the truth?
Partially, but I think it is sort of like a compliment, like I'm almost like too much of a good guy.
I love this. You know why? Because I think we've all got a bit of clinger in us, and it can come out at any stage, and maybe we learn from it and go never do that again. But we've got Courtney from Lilydale. Hi, Courtney.
Hello.
Court, are you a five-stage clinger?
No, I was with one, though.
Oh, dear. What happened?
I went out for my best friend's birthday for drinks, and I didn't look at my phone for an hour, and I picked it back up, and I had 40 text messages from my boyfriend.
Wow. 40 in an hour?
40 text
messages. An hour.
What were they saying? Like, what kind of texts?
Where are you? What are you doing? Who do you live? Who have you chosen over me?
Oh, no.
No,
that's actually terrifying.
Yeah, it was really terrifying.
How did you break it off with him? Did you say you moved internationally or...?
I wish.
That's what Fee does.
That's what Fee does.
Actually, I was, you know, when I was with a, I'm nervous to tell this story, but I'll tell it. I was with a stage five clinger once who had a job that makes me nervous because he was doing things like he could get into my phone and I, like the middle of the night, Fev, my phone would ring.
Is it tech?
No, he's so much more than that.
Oh, wow.
My phone would ring in the middle of the night and it would say, Dad. And I'd quickly answer the phone at 3 a.m. because it's my dad ringing.
Alan.
But it was him. No, it was him. He was able to get into my phone calls. Then one night at like 1 a.m., Matt Preston, my friend, got a call in the middle of the night. And he was asking Matt all about me and what he'd met Matt in New York.
Right.
Anyway, and then he rang Matt to say, why is she not calling me?
Did you date George?
101.9 The Fox.
Well, a few years ago, we had an idea. Wouldn't it be funny if tradies just called us on 13 10 60 and sung their favourite songs, and we'll call it Tradioki? And look, it was a fun joke, but the joke just seems to get bigger and bigger to the point now, Fief, the whole team are flying to the home of karaoke, Tokyo, Japan, and we're all leaving next Friday.
Woo-hoo! That's right, the countdown is on. We are collecting our tradies to take them over to compete with the world's finest in karaoke bars around Tokyo. And we've got a few more auditions to get through. We've got Lockie, a chippy from Geelong. Hi, Lockie.
How you going?
Yeah, good, Lockie. Would you like to come to Tokyo-kyo?
I'd love to come to Tokyo-kyo.
Excellent. Lockie, what are you going to perform for us this morning?
George Michael's Careless Whisper. I'm never
going to dance again. Emotional.
This would be a good this would be a good song to sing in a Japanese bar, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to hit it with my favourite verse first. So.
Okay. You do what you want, Lockie from Detroit.
Tonight the music seems so loud. I wish that we could lose this crowd. Maybe it's better this way. We'd hurt each other with the things we want to say. We could have been so good together. We could have lived this dance forever. But no one's gonna dance with me. Please stay. And I'm never gonna dance again. Guilty feet have got no rhythm, though it's easy to pretend. I know you're not a fool. Should have known better than to cheat a friend. A wasted chance that I'd been given. So I'm never going to dance again the way I dance with you.
Beautiful, Lockie.
I mean, that is a chippy, ladies and gentlemen. That is a chippy.
Took me back to the 80s there.
In Geelong, singing a George Michael love ballad. That
and
was beautiful.
Came in with that really passionate verse. It was a good decision, Lockie. I liked it. Now, John, a roof tiler from Point Cook. Hi, John.
Hey, Fifi. How are you?
Yeah, great, John. It's Friday. You're going to sing for us. We can't wait. What are you going to belt out?
I'm going to give us a favourite of ours, Blue Suede, Hooked on a Feeling. Hooked on a feeling,
I'm high on believing. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That is a good song choice.
John. Okay, off you go.
All right, here we go. Unga chaka, unga chaka, unga, unga, unga chaka. I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me, in your arms so tight, let me know everything's all right. Ah, boom, 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 boom. I'm hooked on a feeling. I am believing that you're in love with me.
Johnny.
Whoa, John, so good.
Thanks, guys.
Unbelievable. Obviously, those registrations at fox.com.au, some big decisions need to be made. Tradies are heading to Tokyo, Japan with us. Gee, John even gave us some of the instrumental parts. Yeah,
right. I love the uka-chaka, uka-chaka.
Well done.
Unga.
Well
loved,
made, loved it. Roof Tyler there from Point Cook.
101.9 The Fox. The Fox.
Oh, we're having a little bit of fun in the studio, but I'm gonna bunker down here, Byron. And this is where you usually come off the long run, Fifi. I'm gonna take over. The Royals. Now, the last couple of days, there's been a couple of exclusives on TV involving Harry and Meghan in Africa, which followed them. It was a little bit of a documentary, which I was quite into.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
love,
did. You came in and you said, "Oh, I loved it, Fee. They're fantastic."
It. Yeah, fantastic. I love Meghan. You know, from her days in Suits. Big fan.
Yes.
Big fan. And I love Harry. And I always thought, obviously, something's happened in their family for Meghan to obviously just leave them back in America and never have them. I think she had one of the family members at the wedding.
Her mum.
Yeah, her mum. And she would, and she looked lovely. But all the other family members weren't there. There's a lot of tension. Something must have happened. After watching the African documentary, well, butter wouldn't melt, would melt in her mouth. Just beautiful. It was well done. Hey, but the next night they did Meghan versus the Markles. Ooh. So that did a backstory on Meghan's family. Now, her sister Samantha, she's quite educated, very smart.
Mm.
You've got a different view on her as well from her, her Twitter.
She's crazy with tweets, and we've all thought she was a crazy nutbag.
Yep.
But she's actually a really intelligent woman who I think is just passionate and fires up with an acid tongue.
And I think she's very angry at what her stepsister has done. Now, Meghan went to some amazing schools. She went to that little red hut school that a lot of big superstars go to, the little red...
In LA.
In LA. She went to the richest schools in the world. Her dad had a really good job and put Meghan through all this education so she could be a star because she wanted to do acting. It was $70,000 American a year at the university that she went to, which is the best university in the world. So the dad really looked after her. Like, really went out of his way. She did 10 years of failed stuff. She was like on Deal or No Deal, hole in the suitcase. She was one of those people.
Right.
She did all these backstories.
She's a struggling actress.
Really struggling actor until she landed on Suits. And then for Father's Day, about in 2016, Meghan put up a photo when she was a young girl with her dad saying, "Thank you for everything that you've done for me. You're an amazing dad. I wouldn't be where I am now." Fast forward 3 years, done. Done.
What's happened?
And I think Harry Boxy...
Yeah.
Has been sold some absolute crap. I think he's fallen for it.
Right.
Wow. I think he's in the dark. I don't think he realises how much of an actor Meghan is because her family has stuck by her and she's just left them to nothing.
I know. Remember she got up in South Africa and said, "I put myself through college."
Apparently you didn't. No. Your dad did. Your dad paid for everything and looked after you. And the thing that got me was when Harry, after all that, said this in a radio interview about Meghan and the family.
Every family is complex as well. So, no, look, she's done an absolutely amazing job. Just getting in there, and it's the family that I suppose she's never had.
Harry's got the blinkers on.
You're right, Fev. See, this is, I mean, look, I was with you. I've always loved Harry. I've always loved Meghan. But no, there's, you know what? Even if your family, and we've all got them, you've all got people in your family, the ones that you roll
family
your eyes and maybe you've just, these are the ones you've got to put up with. But you don't turn your back on your family.
No, you don't.
This is a naive family who have no idea how to handle the global press. Her poor dad.
They just want their daughter.
And even the sister admitted, you know, when the dad did the paparazzi setup shots, that wasn't even his idea. The sister said maybe it would be good to get some good PR. These are naive family members that she's abandoned, and I think it's a disgrace, and I really think it's a mistake. This poor father has not been there at his daughter's wedding, not met his grandson, and I don't think it's going to reflect well on Meghan in the long run. And Fev, I love everything you said.
And let's just remember, she's an actress.
Yes.
101.9 The Fox.
Now, Fev, when people propose, whether it's a man or a woman who proposes, a lot of people obviously go for a ring, often a diamond ring, but something that's quite sentimental. Then there are the people who try to be a bit creative. And, you know, they want to maybe have a personal touch. And sometimes they'll do the pretend ring, which is meaningful, the burger ring.
Do you remember when I proposed to Alex? Do you remember?
Yes, that's right. What did you use again?
I used a bit of Velcro off a table at a nightclub and wrapped it around
her
finger.
That's right. Amazing. So does she still have that bit of Velcro?
Oh, I hope not. It was yuck.
Well, how's this? A man in Japan, in fact, Tokyo, where we're about to head off to.
Oh, my God.
He has made an engagement ring for his wife, and it's gone viral for obvious reasons. He made the engagement ring out of his fingernail clippings. Oh, now, that is so disgusting that when I saw that headline, I thought, I can't even read on, but I will. So what he's done is over a year he gathered the – because he's decided this is highly personal, and he's gathered all his fingernail clippings. He started off by putting them in a blender. And then that didn't work.
Oh, yeah.
So then he ground them into a fine powder. Then he put them in with in a pan with water, and it made sort of a soft clay mixture that he then put in the oven for 90 minutes.
I always thought they'd dissolve.
No. Oh, well, they do. Well, he's ground them. No, they're material.
So if I picked the nail right now and left it here for a year, I thought it dissolved.
Oh, gosh, no. Their tears dissolve. They're not fingernails.
Well, he can't make a ring out of his tears.
No,
so.
He can't.
Okay.
Anyway, he's ended up with what?
Hang on a second. Yes, for a second. Hang on. Sorry. Yes. Sorry. I've got to stay on the swing.
Back to fingernails.
Okay. I need to go back on the slide.
Yeah.
So if I die and I get buried and my body decomposes, my nails stay?
That's a really good point.
I think they go.
Well, Fee's not an undertaker. I mean, you're asking the wrong person. I mean,
I don't know that. Well, I guess everything disintegrates over time, other than plastic. So at some stage, your nails would disintegrate.
Oh, sorry, our producer Leon's got his hand up. Well, how would you know?
I've googled it.
Okay.
Apparently, if kept cool and dry, fingernails will last for thousands of years.
There we go.
So if I go down to the cemetery and there'd be heaps of nails everywhere.
Oh. Well,
I'd hope you wouldn't.
No, I'm just saying. For instance.
Well, there'd be more than that, because there'd be bones, there'd be all sorts of body parts that don't necessarily disintegrate immediately.
Anyway, back to the ring.
This is fun. So, back to the ring. So, anyway, he's presented it to his it's ended up looking like, a little bit of clay on a ring.
Right.
So, there we go. That's unusual homemade gifts. And I want to talk about homemade gifts, because once upon a time, Fev, I devastated my cousin Roger. It was Christmas.
Roger Box.
Roger Box.
Isn't he like an FBI agent or something?
No, people thought he was a spy because we were – a long story. Anyway, he just kept appearing on flights that I was on, and it looked like I had a personal bodyguard.
Right. Is he coming to Tokyo?
He travels for business too. Okay.
What did you make for Roger the spy?
Okay, so Roger, I was about 12, Roger was about 10, and he loved cars. Like, he loved all, little toy trucks and everything. And I didn't have any money because I was 12. Mm. So what I did was I got three planks of wood, and I made, nailed them together to make, a garage for his cars.
Oh,
but because they were such big planks of wood, I had to get so much wrapping paper, and it pretty much looked like I'd put under the tree, a massive, the biggest gift ever. So he, under our Christmas tree, whenever Rog came to visit, he was like, oh, my gosh, look at that present. I can't wait. That is the best present in the world. And when he unwrapped it on Christmas Day and found three planks of wood nailed together, he was so deflated. And that's the shame, because homemade gifts, the meaning, the intention is usually so sincere and loving, but the reaction is always flat. In fact, I would challenge anyone, 30, 10, 60, have you received a homemade gift?
Oh, yeah.
You haven't been flat. Or what did you make a homemade gift? Let's still talk about homemade gifts.
Like
what were the reactions, and what did you make?
Have you thought of one, Brendan? Have you?
I've made a few homemade gifts.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
They're expensive, but they're beautiful.
What do you mean?
Kids.
Oh, okay. Well, we're not going to include that. That's a birds and the bees conversation. Anyway, homemade gifts. Let's see how we go.
I've never made a homemade gift.
13, 10,
really?
60.
Yeah.
No, well, you got the Alex the Velcro ring. That's one.
That was a nightclub gift. It wasn't homemade. My kids make a lot of gifts. They love to, for your parents, they make a lot of gifts, I suppose. But don't think I've ever made any. I don't think I've ever made anything.
Adults making homemade gifts is a very funny area.
Yeah, sure. Let's see how we go. Have a think during the 60-second break here, Feb.
101.9 The Fox.
Gifts made at home. What did you make for them? Because you're too tight to spend.
Oh, wow.
This is happening all over Melbourne because our phones just melted down and we've got Kylie from Morty Alec. Hi, Kylie.
Morning, guys. How are we?
Good, Kylie. Now, did your husband make you something?
He did make me little cotton socks. He carved me a rose out of a carrot on Valentine's.
So he's carved a rose. That's a bad line there, but a rose.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Out of a carrot.
My
that's
wife.
Actually beautiful. Really...
But unfortunately, the kids took it to school and destroyed it.
Oh, bloody kids. My wife says, bless you, cotton socks.
Oh, that's such a cute saying.
Like
I love that.
It's an English term, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yes. Alex says it all the time.
It's a tiny bit condescending.
I love it when she says it.
Mm. I love it too.
It's beautiful.
It's lovely.
Thank you.
Kylie, thanks, Kylie. Preya from...
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Preya. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you guys?
Good, good. Now, did you make something or someone make something for you?
No, I was the maker, so I was going through like an origami phase, like a strange origami phase, and you know how you can make these little origami hearts?
Yeah.
So I made a heap of them, so again, in a Valentine's Day present, and I thought of, I had this idea in my head of like suspending these hearts from like a jar of hearts, and it would be all like, you know, floaty and beautiful. So I went through with it, but it wasn't quite what I had anticipated, and then by that time, I was kind of run out of time to buy anything else, so I'm like, very sheepishly, still gave it to my then-boyfriend. We're married now, thank God, but yes, very, very underwhelming, the reaction. Not what I hoped. So.
Just a jar of hearts. That's so funny.
I know.
I just buy something.
Right. Well, that's the other option, Feb.
No, but I know. But I get the intention because I have that in me, and I know I've done things for my parents over the years where I've gone, I'll get into cross stitch and I'll make mum this fabulous like cross stitch thing with, you know, my name on it or something about, you know, her kids, and then you get halfway through and you go, oh, I'm exhausted. Like, it's actually really hard to make something.
See, I'd be pretty cheap. I wouldn't bother. I don't really like presents that much, but. If they're going to make something for me, just get me a block of like peppermint chocolate or Top Deck,
okay.
And I'm done.
Well,
like,
okay.
I'm happy. I am happy. Don't go making crap that's just going to get thrown out.
Isn't
no one's going to care about it. Like that poor Priya, is it?
Priya.
Like she went to all that effort to do a jar of hearts.
Yeah.
Fast forward 10 years, where's a jar of hearts? No one cared. That's just rubbish.
It was a memory.
Yeah.
Do you know what I did for my mum once?
I remember when I had a Top Deck chocolate, but like a whole block, and I loved it.
Okay.
Actually, this is a beautiful gift idea for anyone listening. My mum really loved this at the time. I did this about 10 years ago. I gave her a box, and I got this idea from Oprah, by the way. I gave her a box, and in it, I had 365 reasons or memories that I loved her and things that we'd done over the years. And every day of the year, she opens it and gets a message from me out of the box. That's a great gift, don't you think?
And then what happens the year after? You do another
one? I still love her, but she doesn't have it in letters. Like, no, I'm not doing it every year. Now, this is really exciting. James Lake, who you took on yesterday, Feb,
yes.
And had a bet over whether or not it would reach 34,
yep.
And he beat you.
Yep.
He is a wonderful newsreader, and we possibly love his wife, Jamie, maybe even more than him
best
because she's an amazing
ever.
Cook, and we occasionally get some Jamie Lake food.
We've got the
now,
smart
Jamie
one in the group.
Yep. Has called us. Hi, Jamie.
Morning.
Morning, Jamie. How's everything at home? Is James being good?
Yeah, he's behaving.
Hey, Jamie, just to let you know that James obviously doesn't know that you're on the line, and just to see his face then when we mentioned that you're on the line, it was absolutely priceless.
Is this just so I know, Phoebe, is this just a general catch-up with Jamie Lake, or is this on the topic of homemade gifts, is it?
Personally, Phoebe and I would love to just catch up with Jamie Lake, but we do want to know why she's called when we're talking about homemade gifts, Jamie.
Yeah, I actually have made James a homemade gift once before.
What did you make?
What did you make?
It was more of a cop-out than anything because he was begging and begging for a real cat, and I'm not a cat person. It wasn't going to happen. It's still never going to happen.
James is begging for a cat. That's interesting.
So I made him a cat out of a tissue box and some toilet rolls.
Poor James.
James, how did you go with that gift from Jamie?
I was very surprised. I thought there might have been something like a cat inside the box, but no, it was just an empty tissue box.
And where's the cat now?
I think I've still got it. I'll find a photo.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Jamie.
Thank you, Jamie.
Oh, that was great. James, are you still begging for a cat?
One day.
Why can't he have one, Jamie?
I don't like cats.
Okay, yeah, there we go.
Unlucky James.
We've got some issues there. 101.9. The Fox. All started with a fun sing-along, didn't it, a few years ago? Oh, wouldn't it be great if tradies just caught up and sung some songs? We'll call it Tradioke. And every year we seem to do something more and more ridiculous with this, Viv.
Yes, we went on the world-famous rooftop and had our tradies belting it out on the same stage as Justin Bieber, Katy Perry, and now then we went to Marvel Stadium for R&B Fridays Live and had a tradie singing out. He's in front of thousands
a
of
real
people.
A slim tradie.
Now we're taking tradies to the home of karaoke to sing in Tokyo. It's amazing. It's going to be fantastic. It's all the countdown is on. We're a week away. But we also thought, look, it's great that tradies are getting free trips to Japan, but there's also other people who might want to come along. Mm. And we figured out we can bring you along if we put you under the label of a groupie. Because it's a working holiday, so you've got to do something. So we are bringing groupies along with us. And we've got two ladies on the line who don't realise they've won, but Jackie and Jodie, you're coming to Tokyo!
Oh, my God! Yeah.
Now, Jackie and Jodie, you're fabulous. You're coming, you're now groupies, you're coming to Tokyo
happy
with
groupies.
Us.
Oh, my God.
What we love about this, Jackie, you've said your skill, because we thought, you know, if we bring in groupies, it would be great if you could contribute something. And you said that you're a mum, so you have natural skills for keeping people in line. And we want that on our trip, Jackie.
Oh, it's going to be fabulous.
What else are you going to bring?
That's not enough
for
you, Fev?
Well, we will be mums without kids, so we're going to be the best groupies there. We're going to be dancing front row.
Look out.
Hurry up and about.
From Pakenham to Tokyo.
Jodie, are you, this is good. So you're happy to come along, be our mum, keep us in line?
Absolutely. So excited.
Oh, this is great.
So you didn't need to be a tradie to
like
enjoy
girls,
this.
Yeah. It's just a girls' trip, really.
Bring on the girls' weekend.
This has changed the whole tone of the whole trip. Anyway, it should be a lot of fun. We thank Sheen Panel Service for all their help in putting this together. It's been a logistical exercise, hasn't it?
We're getting a couple of wines for Jack and Jody, and it's going to be on.
We might be up singing too. You never know.
101.9 The Fox.
I'm not saying that this next guest is a big deal, but if you look behind Fifi from her spare bedroom, she's made the bed.
Oh my God, she's finally made it.
Now, you know her from a whole bunch of iconic Aussie films and TV shows, right back to Muriel's Wedding, the latest Total Control, Sunday nights, 8:30 on ABC and iView, where she plays the role of the Australian Prime Minister.
Prime Minister.
Alex, what you did was incredible. I want women like you on my team.
Oh, how good is it?
Oh, I love this.
Rachel Griffiths is here, guys.
Oh, Rachel, so good to have you back on the show.
It's so good to talk to a girl who's 4 months in and can prove that you can have a baby and still have a brain.
Yes, thank you, well,
don't worry,
Rach.
But baby brain comes into it sometimes. Yeah,
I'm just looking behind you, though. There's two beds.
I'm in a spare room. I'm sort of hiding away from the kids downstairs. So it's like mummy's just popping upstairs. Now, we need to talk about you're not only just in this performing, you're the co-creator, executive producer. You've put in another awesome chick, Deborah Mailman. I mean, having the both of you on our screens is brilliant. When you say co-creator, was this your idea? Because it's so clever.
Yeah, well, I had an idea for a show from when I was 27 about an Indigenous girl who's helicoptered into the Senate and brings down the government. I'm obsessed with kind of democracy and parliamentary process. And I, you know, I'd had this experience of, you know, a woman in local politics, and it really opened my eyes to, you know, particularly what women of colour cop when they, you know, stand up and advocate for their local communities. But, you know, following Natasha, following Joan Kerner and Cheryl Kerner and, you know, obviously Julia Gillard, I just thought we haven't really actually talked about what a woman's experience is when she tries to represent her people and, you know, go into the big house.
You've been so busy. You've also done Ride Like a Girl.
Yeah, and we are the highest grossing Australian film of the year. We're sitting, above 8 million.
That's flying. What was it like to make that?
To have girls come out just going, Mom, girls can do anything, you know, is so exciting. And then I was was at the trail. I was at Caulfield at the Guineas, and I had these old men come up to me and they go, "You, you're a bloody little ripper." and then they go, I saw the film, and then they turn to their group and they go, "Have you seen The Ride Like a Girl?" They always love to put like the film, The Ride Like a Girl. It's like, "Have you seen The Ride Like a Girl? It's brilliant." And then they turn to me and go, I cried. And then they it's just this film, you come out a little teary. So the fact that I've got, you know, old men coming out, having walked in, you know, this girl's shoes as she, you know, confronts, a lot of barriers to her winning that race, but then having girls come out. And then I'm getting irate texts from mums going, "We love the movie. My daughters are so inspired. Now they want to be jockeys."
Yeah.
Look, we will be watching this, the third instalment. Of course, you can catch up on iView anytime you like, but it is Total Control, Sunday night, 8:30. Congratulations, Rachel Griffiths, doing really important work, and we love having you on
and
the show.
And Ride Like a Girl is still in cinemas.
Go see
it. Please take your parents, take your mum out for the day from the nursing home, take your girls, take your girlfriends, and more importantly, take your men.
Absolutely. Yes. Well said.
I'll take my girls.
Rachel Griffiths with Fifi, Fev and Byron right here for breakfast on The Fox.
101.9 The Fox. The Fox.
This has been exciting. The trip to Japan, Tradiokio. We've had a jingle which we've been running for a few weeks now in the lead up to next Friday's trip to Tokyo, Japan with singing Melbourne tradies and their groupies now. Here is the original jingle. It's been a lot of fun.
We're taking lots of tradies to the home of karaoke, Tradiokio.
Tottemojotto.
Fifi, Fev and Byron want to take you to Japan as Tradiokio.
Now that it's getting closer, guys, I think the powers that be here, Leon and his...
In radio, Byron.
Jingle team.
There's a little term, I'm not sure if you know this, but I've been in radio a long time. Yeah. Don't fix what's not broken. That jingle's amazing.
It is. Afif, your thoughts on potentially looking at a new jingle?
Well, look, I agree with everything Fev just said. I reiterated. That is a brilliant theme, and if it's not broken, but I'm very open to a new jingle. I'd love to hear it.
I'm surprised they've done it, but this is just another option for
us. This could be like just new talent coming in and we lose our jobs. Like, it's just
Well, here it is. Ooh. It's a threat, this new jingle.
It's Tradiokio, flying you off to Tokyo. Tradiokio, live from the home of karaoke. Oh yeah, you can sing, see the sights, it's gonna be a great time. Ooh, Tradiokio, here we go off to Tokyo.
Okay, replace it. That was pretty good.
You really
that
liked
was
it.
Fantastic.
Yeah. All right, it's got a new got a new jingle.
Yeah, well done.
Oh, I loved it. I loved, you know, I was
Does
nervous how Leon
trouble?
Was going to get that word karaoke in at one stage, and you nailed that, Leon.
Oh, he's jumped on the mic.
It was a hard one.
Congratulations.
Because it didn't rhyme, but you got it in.
We were planning to give you a new jingle every day next week, or you just want that one.
No, lots
of
new ones.
Every day next week.
No, I want one every day.
Challenge set.
Great. And
every
we leave
Which is an argument
next
to
Friday.
Say why you haven't been doing one every day for the past 3 weeks.
What have you been doing?
Familiarity.
Thank you, Leon.
I'm off to Sydney, guys.
Have fun in Sydney tomorrow night after, of
You're
course.
You're a jet setter, Fev.
Cox Plate.
We're going to do a show drunk. It's going to be fun.
Oh, that's that drunk history. Yeah. Can we say it? No.
Yeah, drunk history.
Drunk history.
That's going to be so
funny.
So
you actually do the show, Boxy, drunk.
Oh, Fev, I just think this could be the best television ever.
They're like, "Would you be interested in this?" I said, "Are you serious? This is my dream."
It's a show that's made for Fev.
Hang on. I'll fix that. They said, "Are you interested in this brand on?"
Yeah, I know. They said brand on. That's
can't spell your name.
That's someone in secretary. They're going to lose their job.
Okay, fair enough. They lose their job. It's a shame.
That's not the big guy.
Have a great weekend. I'll be at the Cox Plate tomorrow. Can't wait for that. Moonee Valley. Hopefully that's still the weather's okay for everyone. And Fief, what are you up to this weekend?
You're going
to
be choppering in, you big superstar.
Get a chopper in. Why not?
I'm actually supposed to go with Byron, but I had to jump ship.
Well, because of drunk history.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. You could have gone straight from the track. You would have been about.
No, but then I would have been, because it's filmed the next day early.
Fair enough.
And I would have been hungover.
Fief, your weekend?
Stuff on.
If you're short on time but still looking for quality coffee, you can grab a quality coffee quick at Coles Express. Get their delicious four-bean Arabica blend coffee now for just $1 only at Coles Express.